toward the end of Parshat Chukat, we have the Klal Yisrael journeying towards Eretz Yisrael, and the various wars and the various obstacles that went in their way. We take a look at source number one. We find such: Israel sent emissaries to Sichon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We shall not turn off to a field or a vineyard. We shall not drink well water. On the king's road shall we travel until we pass through your border." But Sichon did not permit Israel to pass through his border. And Sichon assembled his entire people and went out against Israel to the wilderness. He arrived at Yachaz and waged war against Israel. Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and took possession of the land from Ammon to Yabdo, to the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was powerful. And it goes on to tell us that Israel took all these cities, and Israel settled in all the Amorite cities, in Cheshbon and all of its suburbs. Now the Chumash then describes what was unique about Cheshbon. For Cheshbon, it was the city of Sichon, king of the Amorites, and he had warred against the first king of Moab and took all his land from his control until Ammon. So originally, Cheshbon belonged to Moab, Sichon conquered it, and now it belonged to Sichon, and then ultimately the Jews, right? Regarding this, the poets would say, "Come to Cheshbon, let it be built and established as the city of Sichon. For a fire has come forth from Cheshbon, a flame from the city of Sichon, it consumed Ar of Moab, the master of Amnon Heights," and it continues along this line. Rashi points out that why do we need to know that Cheshbon originally belonged to Moab? To teach us that Klal Yisrael were not allowed to start up with Moab. Moab was Lot's child. They were cousins with the Jews, and therefore we had to desist from starting up with them. So how would we get Moab's land? How would Reuven be able to settle in that territory? So Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it that Sichon would conquer Moab, and then it was no longer in Moab's hands. It became pure for Israel's, Rashi said. It became permissible for Israel to take possession of it. Now, the interesting part of Rashi is the next part. Regarding this, the poets would say, now, Al-Kain Yomru HaMoshlim. Rashi translates Yomru HaMoshlim, the poets would say. This refers to Bilam, of whom it said, Vayistam Mishalo. He declaimed his parable. What was this about the poets? So Sichon, Rashi tells us, was unable to conquer it from the Moabites. So he went and hired Bilam to curse it. And that's a precursor, no pun intended, to next week's parsha of Balak. And that was how they were able to conquer it. So Rashi interprets Al-Kain Yomru HaMoshlim. HaMoshlim are the poets. This is what the poet said. The poet said that let it be built and established in the name of Sichon. Indeed, you'll be able to conquer this city. Chazal, the Gemara of Basra and Chedamud Beis, teaches this whole section differently. Let's take a look in source number 4. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, what is the meaning of that which is written, Al-Kain Yomru HaMoshlim, regarding this the Moshlim would say? These are the Moshlim. These are the ones who rule over their desire. They say, Bo Cheshbon, let us come to Cheshbon. Let us make an accounting. Bo v'nachshov Cheshbono shel olam. Come into Cheshbon, come let's make an accounting of this world, weighing a mitzvah's lost against its gain, and a sin's gain against its lost. Tibonev, tikonen, you shall be built and established. If you do this, you'll be built up in this world and established in the next. And it teaches the rest of the psukim in a similar way. What is driving Chazal to say this? So the Shach in source number 3 points out that if it meant Mishalim as poets, it would say Mishalim. It doesn't say Mishalim, it says Moshlim. Moshlim, we know, are rulers. That's one aspect. The second aspect is the Odamru Bo'u Cheshbon. It says, come to Cheshbon. It doesn't say Bo'u Lecheshbon. Come to Cheshbon. Come to Cheshbon. Lecheshbon would mean come to the city of Cheshbon and conquer it. Bo'u Cheshbon, without the prefix, is literally come to accounting. Come to do the accounting. And therefore, Chazal are learning this differently than Rashi. The two questions that we have to struggle with today is one, which Rav Nevenzahl points out in source number 6, the kasher halotzarich liyot eizeshu kesher ben apshat leben masher dershim chazal. I understand that linguistically you may have a basis for chazal understanding that it's talking about, you know, those who are rulers, and it's talking about cheshbon, doing the cheshbon ha-nefesh, the introspection. But bottom line is, my friends, this is a story about a war with Sichon and the Jewish people. This is not about introspection. The Chumash itself here, the context, is very much a very different context. So question number one we have to ask ourselves is, in where do you find any hint within the context, not linguistically, but within the context of this war that has anything to do with Cheshbon and Nefesh? Bo v'naseh Cheshbon shalolam. Hello, this is a war. This isn't about an inner war. That's question one. Question two is, that Traga brings, as well as Nesiva Shalom, is Umaha tosefet shosifu v'amru Cheshbon shalolam. What is the accounting of the world? I understand when you say to me, way a mitzvah versus the veira. I get it. But bo'o v'naseh cheshbono shel olam, what in the world are we talking about? Or what world are we talking about? Is probably a more precise question. That is our next question. So my friends, let's just map out where we're going today. It's going to be a little bit complex. Only a little. Okay, a lot of complex. So that, you know, I would suggest if you were actually not cooking and not driving, you could actually take a pen and paper and draw out a chart, which probably is what I should have done. And here we go. We're going to look at it on three levels. Level number one is the connection is to the war of the Jews with Sichon. Within this war, we will find a connection to this introspection. On level number one, we'll have 1A and 1B. Then we have level number two. It's not about the war with Bnei Yisrael and Sichon. It's about the war of Sichon and Moab, which is mentioned here. That will have 2A and 2B. The third level is both wars and neither war. What that means, we'll have to get to in level three. On each level, we'll see the connection between the war and the Chazal of doing introspection. We'll understand what Cheshbon Shel Olam is, which world are we talking about. And finally, on each level, we'll see a little bit of a glimpse of what could help us, give us perspective on how to fight the Yetzer Hara. If indeed the section is talking about the battle of the Yetzer Hara, so let's have some insight in what would help us be able to overcome and be successful in this battle. So altogether, we're going to have 15 ideas, 5 levels, 3 ideas in each. Hold on tight. Let's begin. Level 1A. It's indeed hinted at within the war of the Jews with Sichon. How so? Let's take a look at the next page. The Nesiva Shalom. The Nesiva Shalom points out that there are two types of wars with one's Yetzer Hara. Yesha melchama shel elu sheyetzer hara shaleid aleihem. Some people are already in the thick of the battle. We call it in the zone. And there are others who are not right now battling with something. Rather, but the Yitzhahara tells them, you know, don't go any further. Be complacent. Be apathetic. You're doing fine where you are. Don't move any further. And he said these are two different wars. Uklape elu sheinam moshlim b'Yisram ela yetzer moshel b'hem. And the asterisks in 8. Those who are already in the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, hareihem einam yicholim luchol b'emsod cheshbono. For them, doing a cheshbon is not going to help. They are already in the muck itself. And he brings here from the Ba'yusod v'sharish v'avoda, Shira yefshar lakor b'sichli. What a great line. Evil you cannot uproot with intellect. Why? Mishum sharehu koach pa'il b'damo shel adam. The evil is, it's in your blood. It's part of you. V'sichli yoreinu b'etzem adam. And your mind, your intelligence, is not part of you. It's something that we use, but it's not the same as one's passion. It's not going to help. For this, you need like Mesiras Nefesh, like the famous Nazir from the south, who when he saw his image in the water, and he saw how beautiful he was, and he was just taken by this, he said, I want to become a Nazir, so I'd have to shave this off. It's like Mesiras Nefesh, like you have to go cold turkey. Just to start logically dealing with it, it's not going to work. However, there's another type of Yitzhara, and that's what we're talking about here. The Yitzhara of everything's fine, you're not in that moment where, you know, at the same time, the Yitzhara says to you, you know what, don't be so fancy, don't grow. Source number 9. The Eilu HaMoshlim Yitzhara, Hainu Eilu Sheinam Matzav Shapach Alav Yitzhara, where nothing, Yitzhara isn't starting up with them on any particular aspect, V'chol, the bracket in 9, ha-mavak shelahem imayitzahara, hi al cheshbono shel olam. This is the idea of cheshbono shel olam, ha-cheshbon ha-klali shel olamam. Where is your state of your world, olamam, your world? Because we know shekol achad arei olam malei latzmo, we're each our own world. V'tachlito ba'lamo hi linayar mikol yonei olam ha-zev liotavut ba'shem yifarach. The fight, the struggle in our world is a struggle of where are we in terms of our Avodas Hashem in this picture called Olam Hazeh. Where is my world? How am I doing moving closer to the Ribono Shel Olam? Hainu cheshbona klali shel tachlit olamo. And it's really the question of what is the purpose of my world? Where's my goals? What are my aims? How am I getting there? What's blocking me? All right, I'm not in the zone of I have to do this right now. It's a much broader aspect where I have to ask myself, Cheshbono shel olam, why did Hashem put me here? Where am I going? How am I getting there? And that is in 11a and 11b, how it's connected to our psukim. Sichon and Og were like the two last, what we call klipos, the last blockages before Klai Yisrael were able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. By defeating Sichon, there's a symbolic understanding that we have to defeat those aspects that are blocking us from reaching our Eretz Yisrael. We have to defeat those aspects that are blocking us from reaching our level of fulfillment. Just like Klai Yisrael had their path, each and every one of us has our paths as well to come to our Eretz Yisrael, to come to our complete connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that is the first level. 1A is the Cheshbono Shel Olam, our world, the cheshbon, the counting of our world, where am I? What does this have to do with Sichon? Where did Chazal learn this from? Sichon represents that blockage, that ability to overcome those obstacles that block them from entering into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, notes to be Amderech. This is the question that each and every one of us has to struggle with. The Devar Zen, Source 12, Sari Chizu Gadol B'dor Hazeh, particularly in our generation, when we talk about moving toward greater spirituality, this is a real challenge in our generation. He says, Sei HaShuk L'Re'eh, go on to the marketplace and see. Hey, HaKol Tavod HaOlam, all the pleasures of this world are presented to you, Bechsher Mehudar. Everything has a great Hechsher on it. V'ein korev omer ma toelot shel kodesh baruch hu bazeh. But we don't ask, well, what is this, how does this bring me closer to Hashem? Is it because of these great pleasures Hashem put me into this world? And everyone has to make their own accounting. Is this okay or is this not okay? So it's a little bit intense. At the same time, very important. There is so much reading material, and there's so much to eat, and there's so much and so much. Do we have to consume everything? If everything is mutter, does that mean I should be involved in it? So let's take an example. We have the 3 weeks coming up, within the 3 weeks of the 9 days. In the 9 days, we're not allowed to eat meat. So what happens? We eat milchiks. Great. So it's we've entered into a sphere now where just eating lasagna, fish, and eggs is not enough. Now we have to have 9-day cookbooks. And now we have to have the fanciest milchiks meals. That's within the spirit of the 9 days. So is there anything wrong in it? No. And likewise, and everyone has to make their own cheshbon. You know, you have these, you know, trips to Italy for Pesach with the finest rabbis, the finest hekshevim, the finest cantors. And again, some people may need this. But is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned a family to have Pesach in Italy? I don't know. Everyone has to make this question. Is it halachically mutter? Of course. Finest hekshevim. Is this within the spirit for you? That's the question one has to ask. In Cheshbon Sholom, for many people, it may be fine. But it's an individual question. Just because it's allowed, does that mean, just because this newspaper or magazine is allowed, does that mean I should be reading it? Again, it's a personal question. And the question is this bringing me closer to my goal of coming closer to Hashem? Well, you have to answer that question first, and that's already a greater question, which leads us to the year of Adat, the Manchester Rav Zatzal of Segal, where he brings down in the arrow in 14, where he quotes the Ramchal who says, Mahu, Matzarich Adam Lachshov, what do you have to ask yourself? You have to ask yourself, who are you? V'chi Adamu Aguf, are we our body? Hari Adamu Bal Nefesh, we're a soul, we're a chelik elukami mav, we're part of God's presence. Shayoma Tupel Avushkufani, you're right, I'm in a physical body right now, but in the end, that body's going to be removed from me, and I'm going to be a soul. We say every morning, Elukaini Shamashina Tatabi Tahorehi, this God, the soul you gave me is pure. We're not saying it to God as much as we're saying it to ourselves. What am I doing with this pure soul? Am I maintaining it? Am I cultivating it? Or am I destroying it? And he says, the Ramchal says, part of the Cheshbon Shel Olam is Lama Ba'al Olam. Hello, why did God put you on planet Earth? Did he bring you here just to eat, to sleep, to accumulate money, to enjoy this world? It can't be. What does Hashem want from you? My Yasov calling Yanev. Of course you have to eat. And of course Hashem put you in this world for pleasure. At the same time, you have to ask yourself, what is the greatest pleasure? And that's the accounting. Can you imagine one line in Tefillah with Kavana? Can you imagine a pleasure greater than that? Are we working toward that? I didn't even say all Tefillah. I'm talking about one line. Are we working toward that? Are we working toward the ability to reevaluate what is really important and what's not? Or are we so consumed with just indulgement in pleasure, indulgement in the physical world, that we don't even ask ourselves, what is its value? Just to give a mindset, again, on this first level, which is getting rid of those blockages that block us from entering into our Eretz Yisrael, our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And it's a Cheshbono Shel Olam, it's my individual type of accounting. Just to give us a mindset on this level to deal with the Yetzer Hara is an idea that Rav Schechter, Rav Shalom Schechter in the Sivei Shalom brings down. He quotes a Maisa in 17, where Rav Shradron, Zecher, Tzadik, Bekadosh Levracha, was once in England. And the person who he was with decided to bring him to a wax museum. So there were two tall and scary-looking soldiers in uniform standing guard at the door, Rav Shradron said, with their guns in hand. You can almost imagine what they looked like, yeah? And the people passing by were asking all sorts of questions, like, where do we go, and so on. However, the Pella was that although one after the other were asking them questions, the soldiers didn't say a word to anyone, but stood there motionless. After a few minutes, Rav Shalom realized that the reason for this was because the soldiers themselves were made out of wax as well. They looked very real and were put there to entertain the visitors. However, the truth is they were one big bluff, and therefore it was simple why they weren't answering anyone. And Rav Shalom then goes to teach the muscle that's used based on our psukim, that there was a small city, and there was a king that surrounded the city, and a wise person was able to save the city from the king. And Chazal uses as a muscle, the small city is our body, and the king surrounding us is the Yetzer Hara, and that wise person is the Yetzer Tov. And he says, why doesn't the king come into the city? Why doesn't the Yetzer Hara enter into us? Because it's not real. It's like the wax. It's a bluff. And so often in life, things that we think, wow, this is real. This will bring me happiness. We see it's really not. It's a wax. It's a mirage. You know, the story that I've mentioned a number of times, which comes to my mind, is taking my older daughter many, many moons ago, over 10 years ago probably, to one of my favorite stores in America, Amazing Savings. We were in Teaneck, where my brother lives, and I was taking her from aisle to aisle. I love Amazing Savings. I know where each one is in Queens and Brooklyn and the Five Towns. I'm an Amazing Savings so I was telling her, like, you could buy this for this amount and this for this amount, and I was raring to go about Amazing Savings. The Amazing Savings, you can get Amazing Savings. And we finally get to the cashier, and I said, Rach, what did you think? And she said to me two Hebrew words, and that encapsulates everything we're saying. She said to me, Ima, it's an achizas einayim. It's a mirage. It's an illusion. It looks great. It looks real. How long is it going to last? Like, what are you really getting excited about? And again, I bought this stuff at Amazing Savings, right? And at the same time, it is an achizat einayim, because any pleasure in the physical world is going to be a limited pleasure. And for us to see it in any other way is to miss the point. There's a lot of wax figures and wax items in our lives that we think are much bigger, that we can't overcome, or they recognize its value. That's idea number one. This is the Cheshbono Shel Olam. What is blocking us from reaching our connection to Hashem? And first and foremost, we have to have that vision that we're going, the Derech HaMelech, we're going on the King's highway to this destination. That's 1A. 1B in Source 19. This is from Kedushat Zion, of Habersham, the above of Rebbe, where he says, Rebbe Zion Habersham, where he says, Umam yuvan kishitbonen be'inyan hisgabrus ha'adam ala Yitzhara. Dine Yitzhara lo petach ha'tarovet v'rotzen lach shil t'adam ba'averos aval yodei she'en b'kocho lo si t'adam b'tchila lo dvar yisr l'chein ba'atach bulot yaseh mechomo sosito kodem dvar rishut v'ayom omeros lo osekach u'machar omer lo osekach. The Yitzhara is very clever, which we know, and it usually starts with something that's permissible. And then, once you've done something permissible, you've let the Yetzirah in. And before you know it, the Yetzirah has made himself at home. Right? And again, whatever area this is relevant for us, once you enter into the kitchen and open the refrigerator, well, once the refrigerator's open, my friends, there's no end to what will happen. Right? And we all know that. We can eat ourselves alive over this reality. Now, another example is you say, okay, I'm going to sit by the computer for 10 minutes. I'm just going to check my email and check the news. And then, 2 hours later, oh my gosh, where did the time fly? Because once you're sitting there, and I'm not saying that it's a Yetzirah, it just always the thought. He has you in your clutches. I'm just going to check the social media for a minute. Whoa. One thing leads to another. So, what's the best approach? The best approach is a preemptive strike, which means that I'm not going to leave my snacks in the kitchen. I'm going to leave the cut-up carrots and cucumbers in a place that I can't access it without entering to the kitchen. Ah, if I don't have to enter to the kitchen and I have a snack, So then, I stop myself from snacking, right? If I set my computer on a timer for a half hour, and then the session ends, right, which we do with our kids, so then I realize, oh, a half hour has ended. And that stops me. That's called the preemptive aspect. This we learn from Sichum. If you take a look back in source number one, Sichum doesn't fight in his land. He takes his army and he meets the Jews in the Midbar. He has a preemptive attack away from his land. Because once you're in his land, any war is going to cause destruction. It's hopeless. So let's fight somewhere else. That, says the Kedushat Tzion, is where Chazal are learning this from. I take a look at the war of Sichon and how he fights. He goes Hamidbara. He goes to the desert. In the asterisks in 20, Sha'ikar b'mochama shalo laniach etoivim avor b'kvulo. The key in a war is don't let your enemies come anywhere near your territory. Because once they enter your territory, oy vavoy. And therefore, this is where we learn about the Yitzhara. Don't come into the kitchen. Set a timer. Make sure that you're going to be able to have a preemptive strike. Because otherwise, once you're in its clutches, it's already too late. That's the Cheshbono Shel Olam. What's the Cheshbono Shel Olam on this? What's a way to help us be successful in this type of war? So says the Datraga, Rav Shraga Grossberg Zatzel. He says, is Ha'itza Yutza Lamod B'Nisayon Himitzan Machshevet Ha'olam Hazeh. I'm in the asterisk in 21. Shadam yorer tatzmo shelo kedai lo af bebchina gashmi likashel b'chet. She'im hu yechta alu lafsid et mekomo et mamado v'kadome. V'ze kitchus b'fnei achet. He says one way we can fight the Yitzhara is fight them the cheshbonel shel olam with the accounting of the world. Which world? This world. Use the tactic of how will it look to others if you do this? What will it say about you if you do this? When a person is able to use this mindset, it will help them in a preemptive strike, which means you're about to wear certain clothes, and you say, you know what? If I wear these clothes, what will people say about me? So you know what? It's better that I take these clothes out of my repertoire so I don't even have them at all. The mindset, in order to be able to set us up for success, is the mindset of Olam Hazeh. I'm not thinking about the next world. I'm just thinking about what will people say about me. That what will people say about me, which is what Yosef Atzadi continues in 22, said to Mrs. Potifar. He said, well, if I do this sin, what will happen to me? What will my standing be? How will I look? That has a very powerful ability. And indeed, as the Lavdacha Be'emes from Dov Yafetz Atzal points out, that we have a mitzvah in the Torah of Boni Matem L'Shem Elokechem Lo Siskodidu Lo Tassimu Korcha Beninechem Lameit, that we have this idea that we can't mutilate ourselves when a person dies, because Bani Matem L'Hashem Elokechem, you are children to Hashem. To which 26, Rav Cutler points out, Ein Zem L'Litzah Ba'alma, El Yichuso Mitisha Kopen Yisrael. This is not just something very nice. This is reality. A person has to realize that we are a Ben Melech, the Chayav Adam Litbonim, Lakir B'Chashivoto Atzuma. We have to realize our greatness. Ki Hakarat Chashivoto Hu Goren Gadol V'Ikari L'Tikun HaMaisim Yoter Mikol. When I realize my greatness and I realize that I don't want to have that affected, that is going to be a very strong motivator in my behavior. The way the Sichus Musar of Chaim Shalevitz Atzal describes it, it's the idea of Nechbados. Because this is beneath your dignity, you're not going to do this, right? The Maitse of Rav Tursky Tatzal is a child playing chess on Rosh Hashanah, where his father just said to him, it's pashness, this is inappropriate. If we would realize, Shikmikevanchu Makir and 27 in the asterisk, Malatova Chashivoto and Dolaf, we would realize our greatness, Hareunimnam Lachto, Kadeshulayare, Mimadragato, you don't want anybody to think less of you. And this is going to stop a person from doing a lot of avails. Just that thought of, is this appropriate, is going to be that preemptive strike. You know, I was recently speaking to somebody, and I'll be very vague here, who's the daughter of a very chashuv personality, a very chashuv rav. So she was telling me that she was recently on a bus, and she had a certain situation on a bus. Whatever the situation is, that doesn't really, not relevant. And the entire bus ride, it was when she was getting on the bus, and the entire bus ride, she's thinking, should I apologize, should I not? I wasn't in the wrong, they were in the wrong, but maybe I should still apologize. And what was going through her head was, I am the daughter of so-and-so, and it's only right, as being the daughter of so-and-so, that I be the one to apologize, even though I didn't do something wrong. And she said she grew up this way, where it would, her father, like, drilled it into her. You are the daughter of, and therefore you have to behave in a certain way. These people say about you, hello, you're the daughter of. She said, but there's no but. And here is this woman in her 60s, still thinking along the lines, but I'm the daughter of. Could you imagine if we would have this in our mind? I'm the daughter of the Ribono Shel Olam. Is this appropriate for me to do? I'm the daughter of the Ribono Shel Olam, and it's therefore appropriate for me to apologize. That's the idea of Cheshbono Shel Olam, Olam Hazeh, that we have to look at our standing, and we have to realize that we don't want that standing to be in any way affected. So just because of peer pressure, we can use peer pressure in a positive way. That could be a preemptive strike to say to myself, why would I do this? Let me make sure not to fall into this situation, because how will it look? So my friends, we've done 1A and 1B. Just to summarize, 1A, the War of Sichon is one of the final wars of entering into Eretz Yisrael, the Cheshbono Shel Olam, your world. Where are you holding? What's blocking you from entering into your connection to Hashem? Be able to ask the question, what are you doing in this world? What is drawing you? What excites you? And realize that a lot of the things that we get so caught up in and get so excited about and spend an inordinate amount of time are just wax figures. And they're not meaningful. And we have to be able to have the correct perspective. The second idea is 1B. The Cheshbono Shel Olam is looking at this physical world. What is my standing here? How is it connected to the War of Sichon? He had a preemptive strike. He didn't let the enemy enter into his territory. We have to have preemptive strikes. We have to do, A, whatever we can do to avoid falling into the pitfalls. Have the food out there. I'm not saying food is a sin, but it was an example. Have the food out there. Two, recognize that one of the preemptive strikes is to realize our greatness. And when I realize that, that's already going to set me into a different mindset, a different zone. Now we're up to level number 2A. Notes from Zevenzel in 28 and 29. He says, you can imagine, Sichon wins this war. He fights Moab. He gets the city of Cheshbon, which is one of the strongest strongholds around. Sichon must have been strutting like a peacock, saying, wow, look how great I am. Look how, right, look how the brilliance of hiring Bilam to curse them and then my strength to fight them. He was on the moon. He was thinking he was God's gift to the world. What's it, Tguvata Torah 29, Lo Dubim Velo Yar? There's no bears and no forest, such an expression. It has nothing to do with you. Klumayu claim Yitzchak b'yidei Malkol Shel Olam, that you were a pawn in Hashem's hand. Hasibah yechidah. The only reason to begina itzliach sichol ratzeach emoav haytazu. The only reason you were successful was kadesh Yisrael yuchmitzu miyado at eretz Moav. The Klai Yisrael would be able to get Moav ubekach yimumash mitzon Hashem, and that way the will of Hashem would be actualized to be able to have the Everlayarden, the Transjordan, in the hands of the Jews. And he says, now we can appreciate what this has to do with the Maimer Chazal. 30. Hadam orech tamid et hachashbon ksar hatzvach. We look at life. The way we evaluate things is from a short-term perspective. Hamitzum ksam, very narrow, like sichon. B'mikra tov, in a good scenario, we're thinking years. Usually we're thinking days or even hours. Bo cheshbon. What is bo cheshbon? Bo the cheshbon ha'amiti kedei shalonitev v'nichyeh b'olam dimyoni kesicho. Be able to have a perspective that you don't live in a world of illusion like sicho, the here and now. And what to that world of the long-term world? The long-term world, my friends, is the world of this world as well as the next world. Where is the larger picture here? How do things play themselves out? Tibaneh olam hazeh, you'll be built up in this world, the tikonein, and you'll be established l'olam haba. That's the key here. It's not just this world. An example he gave in source 30. A friend asked from you a favor. Okay, it's going to be difficult to go to do this favor. And ube'etzem tichnanta lasot davar ma'acher, and you really had earmarked this hour for something else. But now let's do the cheshbon. Hakoshi shelcha, your difficulty, is a temporary difficulty, right? You've lost the hour. You have to readjust your schedule. But that's dimyoni. Because we always readjust our schedule. If God forbid you're in an emergency, of course you'd readjust your schedule. Or if someone called you up and said, you know what, I have an hour free for lunch. Would you find that hour? Probably. Ve'ilu k'milus chesed, hi cheshbono shel olam. V'k'milus chesed is the accounting of the world. L'fanecha shtei ma'arechot shel chashiva, shel yistaklus ol metzius. Ve'hei makbilot zu lo zu achad nirei lecha metziut yoter. You have in front of you two options, helping your friend or doing what you were going to do. So you would say, you know, helping your friend, it's going to be a little bit difficult now. You know, that's temporary, the difficulty. The other option is that you are going to be netua banetzach. The helping out, that chesed, is something going to be imprinted forever. And the choice is, cheshbono shel olam. You know what the olam is? It's the olam ha'ein sofi. It's the ultimate world. It's the eternal world. It's the world of netzach. You know, what comes to my mind is another story with the same daughter. And it's something that I think about often. We're in eighth grade now, and she has a report to do on Norway. So a friend calls her up. This friend's now married with a few kids, yeah? It's going back many years. The friend calls her up and says, you know, I don't have a computer. We need to type the report. Can I come over and use your computer? So my daughter says, sure. So the friend comes over from, like, you know, 6 to 8 and types the report. So my daughter then has to type the report from 8 to 11. So, now let's go to the next morning, and I remember this. She's on the top bunk bed, and I try waking her up. And in a good day, it was a challenge to wake her up. When she went to sleep at 11, which was way past her bedtime, it was an insurmountable Mount Everest challenge. And I was frustrated, and I told her that. I said, Rach, if you didn't have your friend come over, use the computer from 6 to 8, then you would have typed from 6 to 8, and then you would have gone to sleep at a normal hour. And instead, you typed from 8 to 11 and didn't go to sleep at a normal hour, and now I can't wake you up. And in the deepest of her sleep, because that's where she still was, she says to me, Ima, Norway comes and goes, chesed is forever. That was it. That's perspective. It's difficult. It's a challenge. It's hard for me to get up. But in the scheme of things, how can you compare Norway to Chesed? I mean, like, there's not even a comparison here. And this is, moving to the next page, again, the Ultra Satora points out, many things that we do in this world, 33 in the arrow, we expend a lot of time trying to acquire some object, a house, whatever it is. We do a lot of things that we're involved in. And we think that this is all about us and all about making us happy. But bo'u cheshbon, im ritzorchem liyot musharim be'emet, ask yourself ultimately what has really made you happy. Is all this temporary, you know, satisfaction the real happiness? Because Sichon was also very happy, but for a very short time. Right? It doesn't last. What only lasts is this nitzchios, is this eternity. And hence says the Chofetz Chaim, the cheshbono shel olam is like in the pasuk Hashem yimloch l'olam va'ed. It's the ultimate olam. It's the olam of the future world. And to get a sense of what this olam is about, the Stipler Gaon Zatzal describes it as, imagine filling up the entire world. I can't even use this imagery because it's beyond my brain to fathom, but I'll just say it. Imagine filling up the entire world with sand. Right? We can't even go there. Now that we haven't gone there, but if you went there, or you were thinking about going there, imagine, going back there, that you took out one grain of sand once in a million years. All right, again, we can't fathom a world full of sand. We can't fathom a million years. But if we were able to imagine one grain of sand being taken out once in a million years, you have a sense of what your soul's eternity is, even though it's really infinite and it's beyond that, but we're trying to concretize that. And when we have that imagery of what is this, cheshbono shel olam, is this difficulty worth my olam ha'emes? Like Norway versus Chesed. Let's get a perspective here. So that was 2A, the War of Moab. Moab was looking at his success in a very short-termed way. And his success was short-lived because ultimately it was given over to the Jews. Do we get caught up in the short-term successes of our lives? Or are we able to see that there is a much larger picture here and we have to be able to bring ourselves into that reality? To be, Miskeni Mesponam 36 quotes the Ole Yaakov, the Dumno Magid, and he says, "Most of us, Nimsa, Gam Hadam, and the Asterix, Misha Chayin Lelo Cheshbon Nefesh Alu Kimah Bevadau LeRamot Et Atzmo. If you're not going to do an introspection, you're not going to start thinking about your life. What are things worth? Be able to have these type of conversations with myself throughout my day and my week. What's valuable? Where should I put my effort? What's my end goal? How am I getting there? If we don't make these type of calculations, 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10, you're going to live a life of fooling yourself. And who yitain li yitzro li yitzir lo tvuna v'rda'in malzavo ruchani. Okay, nobody's perfect, but you know what? I'm pretty good. And I daven 3 times a day, and I say brachos, and this and that. And we have a way, and the Yitzhahara helps out, we have a way of convincing ourselves that we are smelling like a rose. And we don't see the reality, right? We have already written our eulogy, and it's really a tearjerker. It is absolutely gorgeous. We're very biased toward our own selves. And part of this, and this is part of the makeup of the world, is that we think that that which is will always be. And you know what? Rosh Hashanah is around the corner, taping a Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Tammuz stands for Zmanei Tshuva Meshamshim Uvayim. Moving around the letters, the times of Tshuva are quickly coming, right? So, like, So we come to Rosh Hashanah and we say, well, you know what, I was here last year. Good chances I'll be here next year. Good chances I'll be here the year after. You have a house this year. Good chances the house will be here next year. I have money in the bank. Good chances it'll be there. My health, good chances. And we believe that the teva of the world, we believe the nature of the world is just going to be a continuous cycle. And if things are just going and continuously going, well, I don't have to really stop and think because everything is just going. And if it's continuing to go, so I'm going to go along with the going. And we're all going and going and we keep on going. And who needs to stop to think because I'm continuously going. That was the mindset, says the Dumdum Magid of Moav. Moav was of the mindset, saying, you know, we are safe from the Jews ever taking this land. Someone else may take this land, but we don't have to worry about the Jews taking this land. That's a surety. And they were living in that sense of complacency and surety. And Hashem orchestrated it such that within the mechanism of this world, that they were captured by Sichon and then brought to the Jews. HaKadosh Baruch Hu harbei shluchim l'makom has many different ways to be able to get what he needs to get. And we have to realize that we are in his hands and that there is no time to make an assumption that this is where it's at. And that's the cheshbono shel olam. Olam from the word helem, concealment. We live in a world where the truth we conceal from ourselves. And our job has to be to break through that mirage and to realize, just like Moav was complacent and I don't have to worry, none of us can just sit back and say, I don't have to worry. Right? Why do I daven? Salvechik asks, Rifa'inu, if I just came back from the doctor with a clean bill of health, that was 5 minutes ago. You don't know what 5 minutes from now is going to bring. We have to realize our complete dependency on the Ribono Shel Olam. And the way to realize this is to be able to continuously make a cheshbon, to make an accounting. What's important? What's our focus? Where are we headed? And the Yitzhahara, which is out there to make sure we don't have this time and focus. This is the way Rav Nevenzel speaks about. We speak about Vau ha'ovdim me'eretz Ashur ve'nidachim me'eretz Yitzrayim. We speak about those who are lost in the land of Ashur in 40 and those pushed away in the land of Yitzrayim. And he says these are two different ways the Yitzhahara has on us. The Yitzhahara of Yitzrayim is paro, where you're too busy to work. Tichbad aleim havoda, this is the Ramchal Matzil Tisharim. If they work right, they're asking for free time. So now, don't give them straw. Obviously, if they have a desire for free time, they're thinking too much, just work them to the bone, where if they worked so hard, you have no time to think. And again, in our day and age, that is workaholics. And it's also the idea, this is Paro's tactic in modern form. Confuse the people, keep them busy, inundate them with problems and issues, with Rav Yaakov Hillel 42, and thousands of bits of useless information until there's no room and energy for anything that really matters. Our heads are bursting with thousands of details, which we do not need. But today, the average mind is so hopelessly cluttered with endless flow of meaningless information, so-called problems, we cannot even come close to their achievements. There's simply no room, even if the clutter is neutral, not bad or negative. It's nonsense nonetheless, taking up precious, irreplaceable energy, space, and time. And who has time to do cheshbono shel olam? And then, in 40, ha'avdim be'eretz Ashur. Ashur is about those who are trying to get osher, happiness. And we have all of these devices that will make us happy, and time-saving devices, right? So I don't go down to the river with a scrub brush to do laundry. So now I have extra time. What am I doing with it? Put dishes in the dishwasher. Well, that saves me a lot of time. What am I doing with it? Or by utilizing it to be able to use my time for Tehillim, for Chesed, or am I just finding other areas that I can distract myself with, from pleasure to pleasure, from one thing to another? We are like, says Mustil Shisharim, like a wild horse in war, where we're just going, going, going. You know, it reminds me like the kids who, you ever watch little kids, like 6, 7-year-old or 5-year-olds, where they'll be running, and the first kid is running. And so everyone else follows him. And then, where's he running to? Absolutely nowhere. And he stops. And everyone else stops. They all start giggling because they realize how crazy this is. That they just ran because he was running. But where were they running to? What were they doing? Going nowhere. And this is true, he says, in terms of 44, even within our own Torah study. Why am I learning this piece? Why am I listening to this type of shiur? What am I gaining from it? What am I growing from it? These are the questions we have to ask. So, my friends, let's take a look as a review of 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. We'll get to level number 3, and then we'll the story of Hashem. 1A, this is our final foothold till we get into Eretz Yisrael, the Cheshbono Shel Olam. We have to make an accounting. How am I spending my time? What's bringing me closer to Ribono Shel Olam? What's bringing me further away? And it's a very, very, very personal decision you will have to make. 1B, preemptive strike. Not in his territory. Be able to catch the Yetzer Hara before. Part of this mindset is be able to recognize that we are Ben Melech. On the first level, realize that a lot of things that we think are amazing are Achizo Seinayim, are a bluff, or a mirage. Level 2A, it's the War of Moab. Sichon thought he was on top of the world, invincible. It's so short term. What do we get excited about? Be able to have a vista of Cheshbono Shel Olam, the larger world, the next world. Cheshbono Shel Olam 2B. Moab thought they were secure from the Jewish people. Level of complacency. We live a life of hiddenness. We don't even recognize our own world. We fool ourselves. And we are so busy to be able to look at ourselves. And we have to realize that we're all pawns in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing is guaranteed. Final idea for today. This is great. Omel Shem Rav Shainer in 46. We know that for 24 hours a day, without fail, the great people would realize that every act they do, every thought they have, every movement of their hand was recognized that this is of a spiritual effect, and I have to weigh it out. And they would do a din v'cheshbon, as the Chafetz Chaim would say, Shekein adam yisarech achrei 120 shana, after 120 years, you're going to have to be able to stand with each one of your days, each one of your years, each one of your moments, each one of your seconds, and be able to give an accounting. Was this appropriate what you said? Was this appropriate what you think? Sarich l'adam l'asum l'adat sheshum davar lo holech libud. Nothing goes to waste. Right? We have the idea of cameras today. We have the idea that everything is marked. And we understand what that means. How you can mamish, you know, follow people around. We are being filmed. Not only our actions, our thoughts as well. What we were thinking when we were doing what we were doing. And we have an accounting for this. Mi shechai im kazeh. One who lives in this mindset and every act that you do, the word that continuously, you know, it's in your head is the word cheshbon, accounting. And he says, Memele, so Chazal, Toshim Hamila, Shetafsachi, Arbe Makom, Techeshbon. Chazal, when they, in their mind, that word was reverberating in their head all the time. When they open up a chumash and they read and they learn, Vamru Al Kain Yomru Moshlim Po Cheshbon. The Moshlim said, "Let's come to Cheshbon." Cheshbon. Wow! I know the Cheshbon's a city about Sichon. I get that. Avalamilah Cheshbon Yiskir Lahem Miyan Bo V'Nachshov Cheshbon Shel Olam. What war are we talking about? We're not talking about any war, but it's the word association itself that Chazal say, how can we be quiet? That just, you know, where do Chazal get this from? Which is our question. We're talking about the city of Cheshbon. You're right. But when you come across a word, which is such a triggering word, that Chazal say, how can I be quiet? I have to talk about what Cheshbon is really about. You know, it reminds me, I used to have a friend that lived in a certain building, and the door to the entrance to the building was hard to open. So they wrote on a sign on the building, Meshoch, which means pull. Like, pull hard, and you'll open the door. So I would love to go visit her. Why? Because when I saw that word Meshoch, I said, wow, Meshoch Avdecha Ritzoncha, right? Let us, your servant, be pulled to your will, right? From Yedi Nefet. I said, wow, it is so spiritual every time I visit you. Meshoch Avdecha Ritzoncha. You see a word, and the word just brings you to a different, you know, spiritual reality. That's what we're talking about here. That the word cheshbon was a word that just prompted them in a whole different mindset. And that's how Rav Chasko Levenstein in 47 teaches the idea that we have to do a din v'cheshbon. A din is a judgment. A cheshbon is a judgment on why we didn't do a cheshbon. Why did you do this and not think about this? Why did you say this without thinking about this? Where were you when you decided to do? This is the mindset of living our life. And on this level, on 49, what is the cheshbon el shel olam? It says, Rav Dov Yaffe Lavdecha be'emes hu al goralo shel haolam kulo. It's the judgment of the entire world. Ma'asav shel adam alulim lachria lo rak et goralo shelo. What you do doesn't only impact you, ela goral haolam kulo. It impacts the entire world for the positive or the other. And a person always has to see themselves and the entire world in balance. One good act can push everything over to one side, one negative act to the other side. So when we're talking about in this last level, what was it that prompted Chazal to learn this? We're talking about a war here of Sicho, Moab, Jewish people. Where are you getting this introspection? They're getting it from word association because their mindset is always on cheshbon. So they see the word cheshbon, you can't but just scream out. And that's how they teach the entire section here. But about doing a judgment. And with this mindset, this is how we really look at our world. We look at our world as standing in balance, and we recognize, okay, it's intense, I grant you, that every, Rosh Hashanah is coming up, remember, that every single thing we do, we say, we think, has the impact on the entire world. Notes from Nevenfeld, how do you check yourself if you're holding toward the right place? He says, Kefi midat chivuv ha-mitzvos. Ha'ofen shebo adam mechazer achar ha-mitzvos hu ha'edos l'midat tzumar ha-lev shu makadish l'cheshbon shel olam. One litmus test is how much passion you have for mitzvos. How much do you run after mitzvos? When you run after a mitzvah, that means that this is what excites you. If we go out of your way to say a bracha that someone can answer amen, or you go out of your way to say something, hey, before you eat, I want to answer amen to a bracha, it's important to you. It's meaningful to you. The more we go out of our way to be excited about mitzvos, to make mitzvos the primary aspect of our lives, that's our focus in our life. This is what brings me the simcha, the good feelings. This is a good indication that you're somebody who has the values in the right place. We'll end with a story I just read on Friday night. It gives us a sense where we don't know what the world is about, how Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. He runs the world, and we just have to deal with our cheshbon, we have to deal with our accounting, and ask ourselves, what's the larger picture? So, there was a fellow in Bnei Brak who decided to do shiputim, to renovate his home. And in order to do that, he took out quite a large loan from the bank. So part of what he did, which is very common in Israel, was to make a yechida diur. He made like a guest room suite where he was going to rent it out for 3,000 shekels a month, and ultimately that would pay for his loan. So he puts an ad in, and immediately the next morning, a la boker, a woman calls up and says, I'm signing on it. He says, you haven't even seen it. Doesn't matter. I'm ready to take the apartment. First you have to see it. Okay, she comes down at 8 in the morning. She says, I'm ready to take it. This was a woman, right? The house, the apartment's in Bnei Brak. This is a Tel Avivi woman. I don't know if you understand what a Tel Avivi woman means. It's an elderly lady who says, I'm living all by myself. I want to live in a community in Tel Aviv. I have no friends. I have nobody there. I wanted to move into a community. He says, well, that's very nice, but if you're going to live in Bnei Brak, you have to like dress a certain way. I'm 80 years old. What do I care about dressing? Well, Shabbos, yeah, I'm not on a car. I'm not going to be Mechallel Shabbos. He rents her the apartment. The neighbors are not at all pleased. What is this Tel Avivi woman doing here? And he says to them, you know, sometimes we have the mitzvah of Luluv and Esrog, and sometimes we have the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. Now we have a mitzvah of Ahavterecha Kamocha. And the neighbors accepted that, and they really took her in. They invited her over, and when the kids would go shopping, they would knock on her door, do you need anything? And she became part of the building. And everything was going fine, paying the rent, v'chule. A few months down the road, he sees that the money isn't in his account. So he waits a few days, and then he calls her and says, what's going on? My Bituach Lumi didn't kick in yet. Okay, wait a few more days. You know, my medicine was really expensive this month. I can't pay it this month. And every month she had another excuse. So now we're dealing with a few months of not paying the rent. And the wife is like, let's get rid of her. And the husband is like, no. If Hashem put, and again, this is, everyone has to make their own cheshbon. If Hashem put her here, there's a reason. And he told his wife the story of a man who evicted a woman and her children in the midwinter, in the cold winter. And the Chafetz Chaim says, I'm waiting to see Hashem's punishment for this man. And many years later, he was killed in a very horrible way that a wild dog just bit him alive. And the Chafetz Chaim said, I knew this was going to happen. He says, we're not throwing anybody out. I'm not starting with a din v'cheshbon, even though we have a right. The Beis Din could throw her out. Let's keep her. Okay? Let's keep her. But let's keep her and let's treat her the same as we've done until now. And again, this is somebody who understands the larger picture here. It's not only about money. It's about a person. They invited her for Shabbos, for Yontif. The kids still knocked on her door, and she didn't pay the rent. And again, there has to be, again, every person has to make this accounting. This went on, my friends, for 5 years. After 5 years, she goes to the Olam HaEmes. There's no one to bury her. The building takes care of the burial, the chule. Then this landlord, you know, starts packing up her apartment because he, you know, needs to rent it out. And they go through her stuff, and they open a drawer, and they see her will. And in her will, she writes the following. She says, I know I did not act with you correctly by not paying you all these years. The truth is, I was testing you. I was testing you to see if you were nice to me only because I was paying you the money, or you were nice to me because this was the right thing to do. And I see that you were nice to me because of me as a person, not just because I was a tenant, that you were that I was paying rent. And she says, I own an apartment on the Mediterranean Sea, overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, and I am bequeathing you this apartment to be yours. And there you see that there's a larger picture. Do we always see the larger picture, my friends? No. 5 years without rent is a long time. We have to recognize, we have to do our accounting, and Kadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. Bo v'nachshov, cheshbono shel olam.